Hello, and welcome to Ask the Vet. My name's Beth, and I'm going to be your host today. By the way, I just want to remind everyone, this is a call-in show, so if you have any questions for Dr. Liz Foster, who's sitting here in the studio with me today, the phone number here is 963-2976, so please feel free to give us a call. I wanted to let everyone know that this month, the month of January, is Train Your Dog Month. It's kind of an odd thing to title a month, but I think the main reason for Train Your Dog Month is a lot of people get puppies, kittens for the holidays, and I think to start off 2019, I think it's a good reminder that we want to work with our pets. Because the unfortunate thing is all these puppies that are got new homes for the holidays, 65% of the 7 million companion animals that end up in the shelter in 1 year in the U.S. are surrendered for behavior problems. That's a high percentage taken to the local shelters across the country for behavior problems. And what we want to talk about today is how we can prevent that particular situation, specifically with the puppies that, that are new to everyone's family out there. So, first of all, hello, Dr. Foster.
Hi there.
Hi. Hold on 1 second. Try again.
Are we on?
That's classic. Try again.
Is that better?
Yes.
There we go.
Dr. Foster in the studio. I can't talk.
We were in the office.
Earlier. Yeah. Okay. So, and it is a call-in show, 963-2976. So, Dr. Foster, I want to start off by, talking about how can we set up our puppies for success? I mean, we're going to go through all the different things, but any quick thoughts on that before I ask you specifics?
Yeah. So I guess when you get a puppy, the younger it is, the cleaner the plate is, meaning the more likely they are to pick up on things. So, 8 weeks is the age that we typically get puppies, but really any age will work. And start thinking beforehand, before you get the puppy, what are we going to do? What is our game plan for behavior training, for potty training, for everything? And kind of have everybody on the same page. And just have a general plan together of how you're going to go about things.
That's good. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on crate training?
I love crate training. I love it. I think it is the safest and the most efficient and best way for a dog or a puppy to be trained. I love it.
Okay, so you don't think it's cruel? I've heard that before. People are like, I don't want to do that. It's mean. I guess the other sort of question I would have regards to crate training and puppies in particular is, what is your recommended time frame for how long little puppies can stay in a crate?
So I think a good rule is a puppy can go without going to the bathroom for however many months they are. So if a puppy's 2 months old, you can maybe go 2 hours without having to pee. If they're 3 months old, 3 hours, so on and so forth. That's not a perfect system, obviously. Can a dog pee a lot more than that? Sure. And if you let them out, they might. But that's a general good rule of thumb.
Okay.
When a puppy is young, like 8, 10, 12 weeks, even more than that, they're going to have to go to the bathroom more often. So leaving them in a crate all day at your house without supervision, without someone checking in every couple of hours, is not going to work for him.
Okay. That's good to know. Yeah. The other question is, how big of a crate for the puppy?
Yeah. So the crate should be big enough that they can stand up and move around, do a little doggy circle, and get comfy. However, you don't want it too big so that they can choose the back corner for their potty corner, mm-hmm. the front corner for eating, and I'm just going to lay right in the middle and I'm going to nap, and I am not going to care that I pottied in the back of it. So you don't want it gigantic for them. And it's very possible that as they age, you're going to have a medium size, then a large size. You might not be able to do a one size fits all. Depending on the size of the dog. For a Yorkie or a smaller breed dog, sure, you might be able to start with one size and keep it their entire life, but not for all dogs.
Got it. Got it. So the crate is a multi-purpose thing as far as, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, that we like it because, one, it keeps our dogs safe, keeping the destruction hopefully to a minimum.
To a minimum. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Potty training. Mm-hmm. Learning how to hold it, all those kind of things. So it's probably a great thing for every puppy to be crate trained.
I think it is. Yeah. Because then you know what they're doing. You know, oh gosh, they're not home tearing up the toilet paper roll. Mm-hmm. No, they're home in their crate and they've got a couple toys and mm-hmm. they're happy and they're safe. So yeah, crate training is definitely my favorite.
Is it ever used for punishment or time out?
So that's a good question. We do not use it for
punishment.
I am
punishment. Full of good questions.
Yes, you really are. You're full of a lot of things.
Yeah.
So it's not used for punishment per se, because we want it to be a positive thing. We want the crate to be the puppy's little, that's their little area. So if they're mm-hmm. in their crate, we're not going to have the kids bother them. We're not going to have the other dogs bother them. That's mm-hmm. their spot. It's mm-hmm. like their bedroom. Mm-hmm. You want that to be their safe spot. So you don't want to have that on one hand, then you don't want to punish them and throw them in the crate on the other hand, because that's going to confuse the daylights out of them.
Right.
And so no, we don't want to punish them and throw them in the crate. However, you can use the crate for a timeout. Timeout okay. meaning, well, gosh darn it, we are trying to eat dinner. And you are acting like you're acting bananas. Mm-hmm. So let's give you a Kong or let's give you a treat or something to chew on. Mm-hmm. And let's have you hang out in your crate.
Mm-hmm.
But you say, good boy, good girl. You put him in their crate.
Something to do.
Something
Yay,
to do.
Yummy.
Hooray. Look at this is your spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. That's good. That's good. Good information. And just to remind everyone, this is a call-in show. Even if you don't have a question about puppy behavior, you're welcome to call 963-2976. Ask Dr. Foster any animal related question you may have. So tell me, how early can you officially start training your puppy? I've had people ask me that question, like when are they old enough to start being trained?
Immediately, as soon as you get them.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, you can start with the simple things such as come and sit and down. I think they're called puppy push-ups is when...
I've heard that term.
Yeah, is when you teach them to sit and then down and then mm-hmm. sit and then down. And I've seen super young dogs, 8, 9, 10 weeks practicing that.
Mm-hmm.
Puppies typically are aiming to please. So if you find out what their magical reward is, whether it's play, whether it's a toy, whether it's treats.
Mm-hmm.
Once you figure that out with them, they'll pretty much do anything for you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Perfect. How important, and this is maybe somewhat controversial topic, but how important is it to worry that your puppy is fully vaccinated before you take it out into the world and socialize it?
So yeah, that's a good question. I think it's very important. I think that if you have a puppy that's young and not fully vaccinated, and if we're talking an 8-week-old puppy, that's pretty common age where people get them, and we start vaccinating them then. By 16 weeks, they should be fully vaccinated. But really, you should wait until they're about 20 weeks to truly socialize them with animals that you are not familiar with. Now, that doesn't mean that they cannot be around other dogs and cats and whatever else, ferrets. If you're familiar,
specifically,
if you're familiar with the other animals, say it's your neighbor's dog, or you have friends in town that are bringing their dogs, and you're confident that they're vaccinated, they can hang out.
Mm-hmm.
They can hang out. It's the ones at the dog park. It's the ones at doggy daycare and just basically running around your neighborhood that you have no idea if they're vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
I typically recommend that we not have them hang out with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's purely for your puppy's protection.
Mm-hmm.
It's purely because we don't know their vaccine status. So even though we say don't bring them to dog parks, don't bring them to places where you're unfamiliar, doesn't mean you still can't socialize them. You just have to be a little bit more choosy about where you're socializing them.
And I think that's a good point. I mean, correct me if anything I say is wrong. not that it would be, but the socialization, because of that whole relinquishment for behavior problems, that statistic is the percentage is so high. Socialization, some could argue, could be just as detrimental, or lack of socialization can be just as detrimental at an influential age, like a young puppy, as exposure to potential diseases. So, like, what's worse? But I think that what you're saying is there's a happy medium where you're getting your dog the appropriate socialization with animals that you know are well vaccinated. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And then also people and the streets and the cars and the noises and the whatever.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's very, very important. So, yeah, I'm not saying not to socialize them. I'm just saying just be careful with what you do. But, yeah, expose them to kids. Expose them to people all shapes and sizes. Mm-hmm. Expose them to, horses, cars, sirens. Yeah, you want them to be exposed to that. Just be careful when you come upon a dog that you don't know.
Yeah. You can always pick up your puppy depending on the size of the puppy. Mm-hmm. And on that same train of thought, what are your thoughts on puppies and dog parks? Let's say they're fully vaccinated.
So I think it's good. I think it's really good. If they're fully vaccinated and we've been working with them on socialization, I think it's a great thing. Dog parks are great. You do worry. Some older dogs generally don't always like puppies. Puppies are weird. They're small. They're loud. They're obnoxious. If you're an older dog, that's kind of how they think of it. So you don't want to just let them run free without and go chat with somebody on the side without paying attention, because puppies can be annoying. Mm-hmm. So you want to be on top of what they're doing. But I think it's great for them to be at a dog park and socialize with all different sizes and ages of dogs. Mm-hmm. But you just have to be aware. It's just like a little kid. They don't know how to act with everybody. So you just have to be on top of it.
Right. And I think that they can have really great socialization in dog parks, but they can also have some really bad experiences if you're not paying attention and being aware and collecting your puppy if it's bothering a dog that clearly isn't interested.
Yeah, because not all dogs are going to like puppies.
No,
they're just not.
I have to say that I feel like a lot of people use the dog park as an ability to take their dog and socialize and then check out and not observe and collect their dog, young dog, old dog, at the appropriate times. Mm-hmm. And I think that at the dog park, it's a phenomenal place for dogs to play with each other as long as humans are paying attention and being aware of the circumstances.
Yeah. And just respecting the fact that the puppy, as cute and good as they might be at home, they're animals and they're just going to be ding-dongs sometimes. And you just have to be aware that your puppy's not always perfect and respect other people and respect their pets. And it's very possible to have a great experience with a puppy at a dog park.
Yeah.
Very
good.
Possible.
Just to remind everyone, this is a call-in show. If you have any questions for Dr. Liz Foster, who's here in the studio, it's 963-2976. Any animal-related questions, she would be happy to answer. Yes, yes. Okay, so should you take your dog to a formal obedience class or a puppy social class?
I think it's a great idea.
Okay.
If those resources are available to you, I think 100% take advantage of them. A lot of places will have like puppy kindergarten where it's just purely social. The puppies are just interacting with other dogs their age. If you can get behavior training and obedience training for them when they're young, I think that's fantastic. If that resource is something you can take advantage of and are willing to spend the time, I think 100%. But you also have to remember that, you know, we can help you do the work of helping you train, but you have to be able to do the work at home. You have to follow up.
Yeah.
You have to follow through at home. That's why before even getting one, everyone has to be on the same page.
Yeah.
Everyone has to be willing to discipline, to train, to teach, to have the same similar amount of patience. Everybody has to kind of be on the same page so that the dog doesn't get frustrated and so you don't get frustrated with the dog.
Yeah, I think that's good, clear communication so your dog understands what is requested of it and not getting different messages from different people in the household. Sounds like when my dad used to tell me one thing and my mom would tell me another.
Yeah, that happens in my house sometimes.
Yeah. this was that was a fun game.
Yeah, yeah. My 5-year-old.
You know who's going to give you what you want.
Yeah, my 5-year-old goes to me and I say no, and then he goes to my husband and he'll be like, yeah. And I'm like, wow, that was annoying.
Yeah, and at my parents' house, it was, depending on the request, you knew which parent was going to give
absolutely.
You what you wanted.
Yeah, my kids are slowly understanding that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
it's a good
fun.
Time.
It's neat being a parent.
And the puppy's the same thing.
Yes.
Less manipulative, probably.
A little less manipulative, but still, I compare puppies to toddlers all the time.
They're toddlers for the rest of their life.
They are toddlers for the rest of their life. Yep. I mean, you have to look at the world through their eyes. They
lower
understand.
To the ground.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They understand the world through their mouths typically. And so we have to be patient with that. You just have to understand where they're coming from.
Yeah. Actually, that's good. That's that leads me to some maybe some quick answers on some nuisance puppy behaviors. We do see a lot of people coming in that are complaining their puppy is jumping on everyone and biting them, biting their hands, biting their children, biting their pants, biting everything. Some quick tips on either of those two nuisance behaviors?
Sure. So dogs are going to do these things a lot of the times because they want attention. So say a dog is jumping up on you. You don't want to give them attention. The more that you interact with them and try to hug them when they're jumping on you and say, oh, you're so cute and all that, that's teaching them that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so not giving them that attention and reinforcing the no, this is not what we do, using the term that you're going to use to indicate to them that no, we don't want you on jumping all over me. So whether it's off, down, no, it doesn't matter. You're still going to have that term.
Mm-hmm.
And then with biting, again, puppies experience the world through their mouth. And so they are going to bite everybody. That's just how they are. It does not mean that they're mean or anything. However, it's cute. We do not want them to do that.
Well, it's only cute for a minute.
It's only cute, yeah, exactly, for like the first, I mean, maybe week that you have them, and then it's not cute anymore.
No.
And that's teaching them, again, it's teaching them behaviors that we really shouldn't be. So, you know, if a puppy's next to you and it starts chewing on the blanket or your hand or something, try to always have a toy or a bone or anything that they can chew on around and place one in each room that you hang out with. Switch it out for whatever you do want them to chew on.
I've seen a few corrections through the years. I'm curious what you think of these corrections. Mm-hmm. I've seen people stick their thumb into the mouth and press up on the upper roof of the mouth for a dog who's biting. Thoughts on that?
You know, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of any of that type of stuff. I think that,
I'm trying to keep a straight face.
Yeah. I'm not a fan. I think there's a couple things with that. You know, number one, we're not trying to make them uncomfortable. Again, they're experiencing the world how they understand how to experience it. So we're not going to punish them with pain or with discomfort. And two,
I've also seen the grabbing of the muzzle.
Grabbing of the muzzle, and then you turn the lips in.
Yeah.
I've seen that. I don't like that. Again, I don't want to discipline a natural puppy behavior with pain.
Yeah.
I also think that you're setting yourself up to get hurt.
Well, I mean, and I'm asking you questions, but I'm going to give feedback anyway.
Yeah, you go for it.
Okay, thanks. I personally don't understand if something's biting you and then you're reaching into its mouth or grabbing its mouth, it seems a little bit contraindicated, counterintuitive, whatever the term would be.
Yeah, both.
Right. And potentially removing your hands altogether, like you said, and placing the appropriate item is a smarter, better move. The other thing is where they're just trying to get attention. So basically removing the attention is a better, much, much smarter move.
Yeah.
And I think that those other things will get you bit.
Oh, yeah. That's my other, that was my point. I think you're setting yourself up to get bit.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just stinks. I think it's a lose-lose. And in the end, if you get bit, you didn't change anything.
No.
You're not teaching the dog anything.
So. No.
I think it's really hard to not get frustrated, but you can't. You cannot get frustrated.
Yeah, they're just babies.
They're just babies. You have to remember that. They're just babies. And can they be annoying? Yeah, they can.
Yeah.
But they're babies, and we got them. We chose them. And so you have to have patience.
Patience. Patience is the big one. quick tips on fearful puppies. And we have just a 2 minutes
left. So fearful at the vet?
No, in general, the world, in the vet, wherever.
So I think you, again, you find what they love. You find, are they motivated by treats? Are they motivated by play? By a toy, what? And you slowly expose them to those situations that make them fearful. And then when they do act appropriately, reward them. That's a big thing. And again, socialization with sounds, other animals, other people, neighborhoods, cars, everything. The more you expose them, the better off that they're going to be.
In a slower, sensitive, encouraging way.
Yeah, you don't want to just throw them into a situation that you know is going to make them nervous.
Right.
But slow introduction, patience, lots of rewards.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. And in regards to sort of a vet setting, getting your puppy in there, getting seen by a vet, making it encouraging.
Yeah. Thoughts. Yeah. We love seeing puppies, whether it's for a visit with vaccines, whether it's for, you know, hopefully they're not sick, but if they are sick, or if you're just bringing them in the door to have us go walk them around our treatment area and have everyone.
We do love that.
We do love that. And we do do that.
Yes.
And love on them, give treats. You know, the earlier that you do that, because we are a safe place to do that at. We're clean. We're not, you don't have to be afraid of diseases. That's good for them too. So bring them places, positive reinforcement, give them treats. That's going to work. You just have to have patience.
Right. Patience. And less about punishment and more about positive reinforcement.
Positive reinforcement.
I think that we're about to wrap it up. But I think that that sums up this month's Ask the Vet. Any final comments,
no,
Dr. Foster?
No. No, I think this was good, though.
Okay.
Hopefully we helped out somebody.
Somebody that got a new puppy for Christmas.
Yeah.
I do, like, you know, have to say, there's a lot of good puppies in the shelter to be adopted, too. So if you're in the market, you don't have to get a little tiny one.
No, you don't.
There's all sorts of puppies out there that need homes. All right. Well, thank you for listening to Ask the Vet. And it's going to wrap it up.